Hi, Devin here. So the recording this week got a little bit funky. The equipment decided to just throw some hissy fits every now and then, so you may hear a couple of hard cuts or just some weird noises. And we apologize for that, and we'll get it sorted out soon. In the meantime, feel free to blame Gary. Today, it's the Evan, Devin, and Marcus show as we discuss the best breakfast burritos, enjoying senioritis, and follow up on our last episode by asking, can licensed games be good? All that and more on this week's episode of Trust Circle. Welcome to episode 32 of Trust Circle. I am your host, Devin Valdivia. I am joined by TopShelfGaming.net.
.net.
What are you? Founder, co-founder, editor-in-chief, stutterer, crazy person, Marcus Garrett.
Hey there, ladies and spaghettis.
And we are joined once again by the mayor himself, Evan Meyer-Zucchini.
Hello.
I didn't mean to do it. That one was a legitimate accident. In my head, I was like, I'm not going to do it this time, and then I did it. Evan's here again.
The heart wants what the heart wants.
I really need you to...
Yeah. Preferably fried and with ranch.
It's true. Had some of that last night.
Farmer Boys?
Down at John's.
Oh, yeah, John's place.
I noticed something new about that sign. So, John's place is a place down the block. They just serve, like, fastish food.
Mm-hmm. John's. Yeah, John owns it.
Yes.
Oh, cool. It's his place.
It's his place.
You might say.
John's bad. They have a big old huge banner outside. It says, best breakfast burrito in town, $2.99. Which is already funny because Marcus had it and
it's clearly not
definitively
the best.
Not.
Yeah, that's a lie. That's
the best we've had so far is
Nate's Corner.
Nate's Corner,
spelled with a K.
Have you guys been to Troy's over on Lincoln?
No.
Like Lincoln and Glissell? That has, my opinion, the best breakfast burrito.
Okay,
that place is fantastic.
We're gonna
tour
one of each, and we're just gonna
just do it.
Like, okay.
But here's the thing: I didn't notice about the sign. It says limited time only $2.99.
It's been like that for
for years.
Yeah.
Hey, like it's a limited time for this decade, man.
Maybe
you got to get in there before
it was limited time of being the best in town.
Ooh, there you go.
And
that's
now
the
it's
difference.
No longer the best,
but it's still $2.99. It's just not the best.
Yeah.
Well, you guys, it's been 2 weeks since episode 31,
mm-hmm.
And we made it.
Yeah, we made it.
We made it. No 2 weeks. It is
in Trump's America.
It is apparently almost summer, but it is nice and cloudy the last few days.
Yeah.
Got some rain.
I was trying to get a car wash this weekend, and I didn't because of precipitation.
Whoa, that's a $10 word there.
Yep. Cost me $3.99 on Craigslist, though.
Didn't know we were being joined by
got a good deal.
Guest host Bill Nye.
More like guest host Bartosz, winner of the 2007 Spelling Bee.
What? Where did you win on?
Where did that come from?
Bartosz?
Yeah.
It's a Polish name.
Okay.
He's the 2007 winner of the National Spelling
Bee. Didn't you say 2011 the second
I said day? 7.
Okay. Yeah. Why do you know 2007
this is
Spelling Bee?
Another one of those things that he
does. That's
what
I'm thinking. I'm not taking it seriously. I'm just trying to.
Look
trying
it up. Google it.
I'm not going to Google Bartosz.
No. Bartosz. Bartosz.
I will not look up Bartosz.
Okay, you can whatever.
Boy, we just talked about this, Marcus. No one can trust you ever again.
It's the entire time. It's the trust circle.
The reason my cat bit you is because she could sense it. She could smell your dishonesty.
She bit me. We still need to talk about that.
All right, well, get off your chest.
You know that I hate cats. You know that I hate them so much.
I know that you had something terrible happen to you in your life at some point in the past that blackened your heart towards the feline species.
Yes.
Family? Feline family? Family? Kingdom?
Just go with that. Alliteration is fun.
Feline devils. And I met your cat, Marzipan. I didn't like her for the first month. I didn't. I'm gonna be honest.
Door's right there, by the way.
But she was cuter than most cats. Fluffier.
Fatter.
And over time, I kind of started to to like her. So much so that even though I'm allergic, I would willingly pet her. I've never pet any cat in my life before Marzipan. And I came here today, and I was like, hey, how is my buddy Mars Bars doing? And I start giving her some nice pets.
You went too far down the north of Summit region, though.
She bit me.
Yeah.
In the hand.
Yeah.
I have a little bite mark.
No, you don't.
I do.
No,
it hurt
you
me.
Don't.
You. I was healed. But it hurt in the moment. It hurt in the moment.
You found a health pack.
Yeah.
Well, other than being bitten by my beautiful cat, how have the last 2 weeks of your life been, Mr. Marcus?
They've been different from the previous 25 years of my life.
As they tend to be.
Most notably because for the first time ever, I'm not a single boy.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it?
I have a girlfriend who's dope AF, and she's fun and nice, and actually, Evan, do you remember the Fire Emblem episode?
Yeah.
I told you about this girl who I asked out who rejected me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she came around, and now we're dating.
Nice.
You leveled up.
It's a success story. What?
More down.
Yeah. She, we've known each other for a couple
3 decades.
Years. 3 decades, yes. And, I've always kind of had a crush on her, and she wasn't into me, but now she is. And I'm not questioning it. I'm just going with it. So
that's the best course of action.
Yep. So here we are. That's it.
Here are the things I know about her. She can make t-shirts in TKO.
Yes.
End of things I know about her.
Yeah. She won. Sheesh.
Yeah. I was paying way too much attention to the screen, so I actually don't have a mental image of this person.
Like, you've definitely met her.
No, I know that I have, but yeah. But yeah.
Yeah. Good times.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's not nothing. Is there anything else you want to mention, or that's your whole new world?
Other things definitely happened in the past 2 weeks.
Have you beaten Zelda yet?
No.
Okay.
Have you even played Zelda?
I've played Zelda, yes. I played it, I still play it, like, every day. Thanks to the amiibo that you gave me, I now have the full outfit for Ocarina of Time Link.
The best outfit. And, the best Link.
I'm thinking of doing your strategy of like combining it with the
Hylian. It looks really nice.
Yeah. And so I think I have my outfit now for when I beat Ganon.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to get all of the shrines and all of the memories and do more armor upgrades. I found out how to farm for star fragments.
Do you want to share that?
It's like you basically have to warp somewhere, and like during morning time, save it, and then sit at a campfire until nighttime. And then you'll see a star, and then you follow it.
Mm. Is it warp anywhere, or is there a location where they're more likely to fall?
So, I mean, you can see it from anywhere, but, like, you want to be at a high place. So, a good place is, like, dueling peaks.
Okay.
And then you just keep redoing that, but, like, you have to shut the game completely off.
You can't just load a save.
Oh, wow.
Because that seems to reset the, like, shooting star thing.
I don't like doing that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of farming in games. And actually recently, I just told you that I started playing BioShock Infinite again. This is kind of a tangent, but like I started the last time, a couple times I played that game, I like tried to pick up every little like thing, like just run around and pick up everything. And as I was playing this time, I was like, doing all of this is like taking me out of what I feel like the experience should be. So I'm like trying to just like stay on the more defined path just to experience it that way and try to avoid that, you know, OCD, I need to pick up everything, but
I need to get all this basically just pineapple like, out of this man's pocket.
Yep. No, but I don't really like farming. Like, one of my friends was telling me about how, like, he was getting arrows by, like, having enemies shoot into the wood shield. And I was like, I don't want to do that. And he was like, why don't you want to do that? It's 3 hours. And I was like, because then you're just, like, sitting around playing a Legend of Zelda game holding, like, a shield up. Like, that's not what I want to be doing when I'm playing Zelda. And I have farmed arrows, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I have done that. But I don't like doing it a lot.
Yeah.
And the turning off the game thing,
I don't like that. I don't like that. To be fair, I haven't done it. But I know that you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I feel like getting star fragments in a...
Yeah, that's pretty rare.
In a, like, in the, like, legit way, just feels like you would never upgrade any of those things.
Yeah,
What do you need star fragments to upgrade?
To upgrade certain outfits. So,
Is it more the, like, not download, is it more the amiibo outfits?
Yeah,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and I think, is it your highly... No, the Hero's Tunic?
Hero's Tunic is upgraded with the Dragon Horns.
That's what it is.
Which is awesome. I love that. I loved hunting them down. Yeah. That was so cool.
I still have a ton of doing that. Yeah, I haven't actually played it since the last episode. I've been bouncing between other things.
Nerd.
Has there been an episode of Trust Circle since March 4th when
we haven't
talked about this game?
To be fair, there hasn't been an episode of any video game podcast that I've listened to that hasn't
mentioned Breath of the Wild. Zelda, yeah. Vaguely, like, you still play Zelda? Yeah, I still play
Zelda. Zelda it is. I mean, it's still a game. It's still big. It's still got probably tons of secrets that no one's...
Yeah, and now we have DLC information, too. So, like, it's been renewed, and there's so much cool stuff in this first DLC pack that... I'm excited for
the Majora's Mask thing. Is if there's anything that's like gonna make me buy it, that the possibility to get that is like very exciting to me, because just doing that article where I compared Breath of the Wild to Majora's Mask like made me realize how much I love that game.
Topshelfgaming.net, look it up.
.net.
Yeah. .net.
Yeah, don't go to .com. You don't want to go there. Trust us.
It's I'm not saying that it's sketchy stuff. I'm just saying that it doesn't.
All I'll say is. Bartosz.
Bartosz.
You won't be winning any spelling bees. Evan, what else have you been doing the last 2 weeks besides replaying a pretty fantastic Lighthouse-themed game?
Not too much. The days have kind of been... Bioshock.
Bioshock.
So as I mentioned on the last time I was on this, I was working on my capstone, or had just finished working on my capstone.
Capping it off
for as like the written report, and so then after that I worked on turning it into a presentation. And
so did
brace yourselves.
Okay, so just so while he composed himself, but aside from that,
would you say that you busted a cap in that class?
It's like a 6 out of 10 goof.
I think it's really good. It's a good joke.
I mean, if it was pass fail, I'd give it a pass, but I'd also give it a C.
Bust the cap in that class. It's a
capstone. No,
I get the joke, but
the problem is not us getting it. We definitely got it.
If you had just told that straight up, you might have gotten a chuckle out of me.
I missed it. I missed my window, but I needed to say it for me.
I get that.
Okay. Yeah,
and you know, there's someone out there listening who's laughing with you right now.
Probably Gary.
What's up, Gary? How's it going?
What up, G?
So you've been doing that school thing.
Yeah, the school thing. And aside from that, I've just been like trying to enjoy the end of
the
college.
Dawn of the final day.
Yeah. Being able to actually enjoy senioritis for a little bit.
Yes.
Where I don't, instead of just being lazy and having work that I need to do, I'm lazy and I don't have that much work to do. So if I like spend a day just like not really doing anything quote unquote productive, it's like totally fine. Or mostly fine. There are still some things that I need to finish.
Those are good. When's the semester up for real?
May 21 is the day that I graduate, but my last final is technically due the day before. I'm hoping to finish everything by the next Thursday.
Wow.
That is very close.
You should do it. That's pretty good. Because then you would just be like existing in this world of like freedom for like...
A couple days. Yeah, that would be nice. My family's going to... a lot of my family is actually going to fly out for my graduation, too, so that'll be really exciting.
Nice. Oh, I remember those days. That was 5 years ago for me.
Yeah.
That seems way longer than it feels.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were that far out of college.
I just turned 27.
Wow.
You wouldn't know it.
He's a geezer baby.
A geezer baby?
Geezer baby.
I'm a geezer baby. So why don't you kill me?
I think my joke was better.
Mine wasn't a joke, it was a story.
No, that rebuttal was better than both of our jokes.
Well, there we go. My past 2 weeks have been... What have I done?
I've been wondering about that, too.
So, this is a post-it note.
Is that Ness?
No.
Swan.
A goose swan?
So, Marzipan was lying on the couch, all flat and sprawled out, and Valar was like, it looks like a duck. And I was like, what are you talking about? And so she drew a duck, and I was like, that's not what a duck looks like. That looks like some dumb kid. And so I drew
the dumb kid,
which is basically like a creepy version of Ness with a propeller hat.
He has a hat, but no
propeller. I have been getting ready for Injustice 2, which comes out next Tuesday, which is...
Injustice Tuesday.
I'm surprised I haven't seen that being thrown around as a hashtag or something.
It's because no one is as shameless as me.
I don't know. Ed Boon's pretty shameless on Twitter. So Injustice 2 is NetherRealm's newest game. NetherRealm is the developer behind Mortal Kombat. And Injustice is their fighting game with DC characters. And I'm really looking forward to it, even though I am not the biggest fan of DC. I like Batman, but I think Superman is the worst. Just throw that... As an idea of, like, you know...
That seems like a pretty common feeling. He's, like, everything that...
Yeah, like, he's just too much. Yeah. He's too much.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I know that, like, you know, the history of comics and why, you know, a character like that would have been made in the Depression era, like, that all makes sense and, like, that's interesting. But it doesn't make me like him, like, as, like, a character. Yeah. He's too pure.
Is Injustice the only fighting game you play?
No. So, my thing is, I really like fighting games. I'm just not good at them.
No, I feel that.
Do you still play For Honor at all?
I have played a little bit in the past. I'm debating whether or not to wait until the new content comes out.
Is that free content, or do you?
So there's going to be new maps that I think are free. There's two new characters that are coming out that are not free. But I basically want to, because they're probably going to update stuff at that point, and so I might jump in a little more actively after that. But you know, I've played Soul Calibur and Dead or Alive and Tekken.
Yeah, you're talking about Soul Calibur.
I haven't really ever been that into Street Fighter. It's too...
So you haven't...
It's too twitchy.
You probably haven't been into Marvel versus Capcom then. That's ultimate super twitchy.
So I have MVC3 on PS4 because I bought it one day. And like, you know, it's fun to like watch those characters move.
Yeah.
But like, anyone with any skills can just destroy him because it is just so fast and specific and like weirdly unbalanced, and like that's that game's whole thing.
I had a phase where I was really into Marvel versus Capcom 3.
The idea is the coolest thing ever.
Mm-hmm. The reason why is because of like the team aspect, the having multiple characters on one team. Because
instead
I liked
of
about
like
it.
Three like rounds or like two life bars. That's traditional in like most games.
Yeah,
you have just like three characters that just have one bar, and the way that it changes as like one team member dies,
And it just, you have the next one, and assists too are cool, and like chaining supers together is that game also is awesome.
Incredibly complex.
Yeah, it's awesome. Impressive. I like it. I'll still go back. I mean, I won't watch UMVC through or Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom footage anymore, really, because like the new stuff is just the meta has been stale for years. But there was a time when like that was what I would go onto YouTube to watch.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, I'll do that just now. I'll like just, you know, Mortal Kombat 10 or Marvel vs. Capcom. Because Marvel vs. Capcom is fun to watch because it just looks like insanity.
Yeah.
If you don't know what's happening, like, it's like, what is this explosion of color on my screen?
Have you ever watched Marvel 2 footage?
Yes.
That stuff is the most hilarious cluster. I'm not going to finish that word. Call myself.
Cluster truck.
Yeah, cluster truck.
Out now on Steam and PS4.
It's the most cluster nuts. Cluck. That it's the craziest thing of that ever.
Yeah. So like I've always liked, like, I like the idea of fighting games. I like the, like, the rhythm and strategies of fighting games. Yeah. I just don't have like a strong enough grasp on them to actually like be competitive
at it.
They're
hard.
You have to
tough.
You have to dedicate like yourself to like a game and a fighter. You have to you have to main someone if you're gonna get that level, and I like the variety of things too much. So like I'll be like, I want to be Liu Kang, but I also want to go be a Scorpion, but I also want to do Reptile. And it's like, I can't, like, just sit on one character for long enough. But I like the first Injustice game a lot because I felt like the fighting system was a lot more accessible, where you could do the longer combos and the bigger moves more easily, but it still had, like, a really deep system, and, like, I would go watch videos of people who actually could play the game competitively. And like, oh, like, this actually does go deep still. So, like, I feel better about it immediately. And if I want to, like, I can always burrow down deeper into it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I like, even though I'm not the biggest fan of DC, I like that it is those characters just because it's something different. And they have the story mode, like they had for the last few Mortal Kombat games, which is neat. And I like the idea of fighting games having story modes. I think it works really well, though, especially the way NetherRealm has been doing it. As opposed to,
and even if you don't like know Cyborg and like his like big backstory or whatever, you still like watch Teen Titans or like know everyone, like, that
you've seen the character. So you connect with the characters more so than you would with, like, here's Shinnok from Mortal Kombat. You know, Shinnok,
a random no name person.
And in Marvel, I wouldn't pick any characters that I like didn't have an emotion. Yes. Some kind of, like, connection to.
So, like, no one on the Capcom side for me.
Except Mega Man.
Yeah.
Mega Man wasn't in Marvel vs. Capcom 3. That was a whole thing.
It
was a whole big thing. They had Zero in there, but not Mega Man. I tried to use Zero, but he was, like...
Is that the one with Okami?
Super technical. Yes. Matarazzi. Yeah. She was also really tough.
And Phoenix Wright.
What?
Phoenix Wright is in that game.
Did he just throw out, like, objections?
He did have objections. Mm-hmm. You had to earn the objections. Okay. You had to do this whole thing to, like, get him into,
it was like
a
an evidence
like,
system,
state.
Like, in the... It's weird.
Here's time.
But no, I'm really excited for Injustice 2. Their big main thing is, like, you get gear, which means constant character customization, which I'm all about. Like, visual customization. Plus it has like stats and stuff, and it looks really, really, like, visually it looks really, really good.
It looks way better than the first one.
Yes, it looks better than MKX looks, and that game looked very good.
Like, it's very pretty.
Like, the faces animate really well in this game. So I'm looking forward to.
But do they animate better than Andromeda?
You know, I don't know.
Rimshot.
But actually, my Injustice obsession leads us. This is my Australian accent. I learned it from Marcus.
So you didn't learn it from me.
I think it's going to lead us pretty smoothly into our main topic of the show, which we can take after a very short break. We're going to talk about some licensed games. Doki games. Wonderful break that we definitely took and didn't just sit here for about 2 minutes and hit play again. Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right, Marcus?
I went to the bathroom 10 times.
That's right, you did. So, as I was saying, Injustice 2 is the latest licensed game. So last time we talked about movie video games. Video game movies? That's the one.
Yeah.
Movie video games.
We'll get to that in a second.
They're games where they're trying to get the Oscar, and they typically come out in December, and they're video games about filmmaking.
Nailed it. And Meryl Streep wins every time.
And Meryl Streep always wins.
Yeah. She loves her strategy games.
She does.
RTS. No, so last episode was about movies based off games and why they tend to be terrible, and if we thought they could be good. So kind of riffing off of that and my anticipation of Injustice, I wanted to talk about our history, our experience, and our thoughts about licensed games, which are games based off of movies or TV shows or books or comics or any other franchise property that isn't a game that becomes one. And it's weird, much like that noise you may have just heard come out of my mouth, because we were talking about this during our short break. I feel like PS2 era, PS360, PS3 era still too, there were a lot of these, and they weren't good.
Yeah.
The
Wii. I forgot that we existed.
The Wii had so much shovelware in general, though. That game had, like, the highest highs and just the longest, most extended pits of lows of any console ever.
Until the Wii U.
Nope.
The Wii U didn't have it. The Wii U didn't have as much of that, just like...
Yeah.
The Wii U just didn't have
crap.
Just didn't have just... The Wii was just... Muddled, but garbage.
But
there are bargain bins just filled with that.
You say that, while the Wii U also has the two best Nintendo Switch games part of its library as well. Zelda and Mario Kart. So...
That's a problem for the Switch. That's not a problem for
that's true. And it's also off topic. So back to licensed games. They were a much more stereotypically awful... idea a few years ago, but lately there's kind of been some good ones, and we talked about a lot of them.
There've been some fantastic ones.
So we talked about Injustice, obviously. We talked about the Arkham series, which is more Batman.
Explain what a licensed game is first?
I kind of did. Do you want to get a more thorough explanation? Hey, Marcus, what's a licensed game?
Did I miss the part where you explained that? Because I feel like you touched on it.
Game based off of any other franchise that's not from a video game. Movie, book, comic, TV show.
All right, I'm good with it. We're good.
We're good.
All right.
We're
good. So, you know, things like there's a South Park video game that came out, Stick of Truth. That game is fantastic.
And there's a new South Park game.
There's a new South Park game coming out. Alien Isolation is a survival horror game based on the Alien series. Very, very good. Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic is a BioWare RPG in the Star Wars universe.
That's from BioWare?
Yes.
Oh.
Wait, did you actually not know that?
I did not know that.
Oh.
Well, now you know that.
But I also, like, never played BioWare games.
Yeah. Well, some might say it is BioWare's best space-based RPG.
Even better than...
Dragon Age. Yes. there's Kingdom Hearts. There's...
One of my favorites.
Marvel vs. Capcom, which we talked about earlier in the show. There are still some bad games. A couple years ago, we were handed the Legend of Korra video game, which had everything going for it. One, based off a fantastic series that would totally lend itself to a video game.
Yep.
And it was being developed by Platinum Games, which is
known
for the games that this was made off, and it just...
Platinum's been kind of inconsistent lately, haven't they, though?
And they've been...
Like, there was a stretch where they were, like, couldn't do anything wrong. They had, like, Bayonetta, then Vanquish.
And then they had...
DMC was good.
And then they,
like,
had some trouble.
DMC, their reboot of DMC was fantastic. Was
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh.
But then they did three licensed games. They did Legend of Korra. Then they did Ninja Turtles. And then they did the Transformers game.
And all of those were bad, right?
The Transformers game was kind of 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
It was part of the free PlayStation games a while back, and I played it, and it's fine. It didn't really catch my attention. I have no real affinity for Transformers, though.
Platinum also helped with Star Fox Zero.
No. Wait. Hold on. Real quick. Platinum didn't develop DMC. That was Ninja Theory.
Who did DMC? You're right.
I just said Ninja Theory.
No, but did Platinum do... I meant... Did Platinum do any DMC? Any Devil May Cry?
I don't think so. Ninja Theory did Heavenly Sword.
That's them.
I don't know if Platinum... I don't think Platinum's worked on the Devil May Cry series.
I, like, legitimately...
Yeah, no, I was 100% with you, but...
Yeah. It kind of looks like something...
Good thing we've got Platinum this college boy over here.
But like, they also have the, like, same grading system that's in all Platinum games.
That's just an action game thing.
But
Final Fantasy has that.
But they have the like
Sonic
same,
Racing has that.
But they have the like same tiers of like grades.
Yeah.
The ones that are in Bayonetta are also in Wonderful 101, which is the like same. It's just like the same format, but just different text and like. But it's like Platinum signature grading scale.
Is it Platinum signature thing or is it just a genre thing?
I mean, it is a genre thing, but Platinum has like a very specific thing that they do, like a specific way of doing that thing.
Maybe Ninja Theory ripped off Platinum. It was made at a time when Platinum was at like their peak.
That's true.
So
when they were Platinum rank.
Yes.
Before they made Legend of Goro. But then there's a long history of very, very bad licensed games. A couple that I wrote down are Legend of Korra. Pretty much every Spider-Man game other than Spider-Man 2.
Spider-Man 2 was so wasn't good. Shattered Dimensions pretty good?
So there's a couple that I've heard people say. Like there's one where you're playing with Wolverine. I've heard that. I think it's Web of Shadows. But some people have liked... Yeah, it's
stupid.
There were a lot of Spider-Man games for a while.
There were a couple developed by Beenox.
Yes.
That were pretty good.
Beenox?
Beenox was the developer. No, was it Treyarch or Beenox? Or
that's
both?
A Zelda joke, you guys.
I don't know.
Treyarch developed Web of Shadows, I think. And I'm pretty sure Beenox did Shattered Dimensions, and whichever one came after that. Shattered Dimensions was the one where you played as like Spider-Man Noir, Spider-Man
the
Future.
Ages. Yeah. Really cool idea.
Who is the developer of that?
I'm not going to tell you.
I'm just curious.
It was Activision. They published it. Yeah. So, you know, the flip side of the fantastic Alien Isolation is the infamous Alien Colonial Marines, which was made by Gearbox, who you may know from Borderlands.
Did you say Hinox? I'm just kidding.
You gotta stop with that. There was a Walking Dead first-person shooter, not to be confused with the good licensed game, The Walking Dead Telltale. No, I am going to kick you off this podcast in a second, my guy.
I'm sorry.
Oh, boy. So, Marcus, what are some licensed games of your childhood that you remember?
Goof Troop. Have any of you played Goof Troop?
What was it on?
No idea what that even means.
SNES.
Probably not.
I was too young for that shit.
Goof Troop was such a good game. It was like top down and like you were Goofy and Max. Wait, did you watch Goof Troop the show?
No.
Evan!
What?
Goof Troop was like the coolest show. So it was like Disney and it was the show about Goofy and his son Max. And there was like more contemporary.
Did it come before or after the movie?
I don't remember. It might have been after the movie.
I think I saw like an episode or two of that, like rerun on the Disney Channel.
Yeah. Well, it's a really great show. And then they had this Goof Troop game where like they get stranded on this like island and then you have to like solve puzzles. It's basically kind of like Zelda. Like the original Zelda, but with Goofy and like his son Max. And like it's just like top down and there's like all these enemies and all these puzzles. And I just remember that game was so much fun. That's a good licensed game. And, you know, I feel like Disney, when it comes to licensed games, they kind of take the cake.
Ooh. It's like, I don't know. I mean, they have a slew of some suckers.
In terms of volume.
Oh, in terms of, yeah, well,
they've just, also they made definitely, some
I mean, it's Disney.
Total crap.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Disney owns, by this point, most of entertainment.
Yes. So, I mean, even back then, they still had, like, the most licensed games. Like, do you remember the Lion King game?
I do. And the Aladdin game.
And the Aladdin game, which was also dope.
Those were weird.
Lion King was impossible. Because of the I Can't Wait to Be King level, yep. And no one knew where the like hit boxes were, and you can never pass it. And I think I beat it once. Aladdin was just really fun. Aladdin you collected great. Apples, and you did the whole flying you got carpet.
To throw apples, and just the animation was really good.
Yeah, it was a great game.
What is that you can recall off the top of your head the worst licensed game you've personally played? Use that thinker. Or a memorably bad one.
Does anyone else have one? Because I'm not...
I'm trying to stay away from, like, bad licenses. I mean, bad games in general.
So I've got a few.
There's just games that you look at the cover, and you're like, no. Yeah.
You can tell by the cover.
Also, real quick, just for its, like, spot as an infamous game, sure. Superman 64 is, like, the horrible licensed game.
Yeah.
Just want to throw that... I've never played it, but...
So I rented that game.
Really?
I remember renting the game as like an 8-year-old kid. And yes, I can confirm from first-hand experience that game is terrible. That game wasn't finished. Like, it literally wasn't finished. So that kind of going along like the Atari ET story, like it literally was not a finished game. So it was broken from the start.
If an 8-year-old thinks that a game is bad, then it's bad. Because like 8-year-olds... Like, they don't think anything's bad.
Our tolerance for garbage is very high. Yeah. Especially something that we'd like.
They like, just think that it's difficult.
Yes.
They don't think that it's bad. They think that they just don't know how
to play. So, case in point, Star Wars Shadows of the Empire. N64 game. I loved that game as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And to be fair, that first level is, like, one of the best Hoth levels of any Star Wars game, which every Star Wars game is required to have.
Is that the one...
You're Dash Rendar, who is not Han Solo.
I don't remember the storyline, but I remember... Was it like the Hoth level, sure, but then there were levels after that where you were shooting?
Yes.
And
it's a third-person action.
Then you got a jetpack, too?
Yes.
Okay, then yes. That game was fun.
So you say that. When was the last time you played it, though?
When I was that age.
Yeah, I played it a couple of years ago, and like part of it is just... I wanted to say part of it was because the N64, you know, is so old and there's just a lot of things just control-wise, but that's not true, because Mario 64 still controlled okay for that game. This game controls like poop.
Have you replayed GoldenEye?
Yeah, actually, I played GoldenEye within the last year.
So tough to play.
Shooter
and it was one of the best games at the time. Like, the N64 is one of those weird periods of times where because you had that... weird triangle pitchfork whatever controller, the controls like don't really work the way that they're supposed to, especially for something that like requires precision, and especially like shooter game, like
for, so before I moved down here, I gave my N64 and my games to my youth group kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so I set it up for them, and they're just looking at the controller like, what the heck is this? And so I put in GoldenEye. I was like, okay, I want you guys just to play this. They'd heard about GoldenEye because it's just, you know, everyone knows about this game. Yeah. They're like, oh man, it hurts so good. And just watching them try to figure out how to hold the controller was the funniest. I have a video somewhere. I think I might put it on Instagram. Because they're like, they cannot figure out like how to like orient their hands around the three different portions. Yeah. Like,
how did we ever figure that out? Because it's not intuitive at all.
No, it's really not.
Practice. I think you just had to do trial and error and like see what buttons would do what.
We had commercials showing us people playing them.
That's true. We did.
We had.
I don't know if I ever saw a commercial.
Do you remember Powerpuff Girls?
Yeah, of course.
There was this one episode where the mayor is like playing Zelda on an N64, and like he has that pitchfork,
mm-hmm.
and like he's in a dungeon, and it's this elf in this green tunic. And it's like clearly Zelda, like but you know, it's like copyright safe. Zelda. Yeah. And like I remember seeing that and just thinking like, this is the best show ever created.
So Yeah, so that doesn't hold up. Other memorably bad games I've played. There's a SpongeBob game on, I think, PS1 I played. That was pretty bad. There's a Rocket Power semi-open world game.
That already sounds bad.
That sounds great.
You could like Rocket skateboard Power open world. Game? You could skateboard on a roller coaster
on N64.
No. PS2, PS1.
That still sounds bad.
PS1, the one that played on PS1. PS2. I'm sure there were many PS2 Rocket Power games.
Any open world games on like that old generation?
Tech. Yeah,
it just sounds bad.
This is true.
That's why Ocarina did wasn't fully open
world. Yeah,
there was a 24 game on the PS2,
like the crime show,
like the Kiefer Sutherland TV drama 24. It was neat in that it copied like the framing devices of the show. Like it would do like screen and screen stuff.
Yeah.
But boy, it just didn't play well. And so that kind of leads me to the main question I want to ask and answer in the time we have left. It's just like, what makes a licensed game good or bad? Like, what's the difference? Because there are many good ones and there are many bad ones. What's the difference?
I think it's...
Obviously, some are good and some are bad, but like, what makes...
I would think, as we've talked about this, one of the games that we haven't mentioned is the Rogue Squadron games,
mm-hmm.
which are excellent. Again, Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
A
rare quality Star Wars game,
yeah,
you might say.
But it's the, like, flight space battle. Not necessarily space battle, but just kind of like, yeah, the flight battle stuff. That stuff was really fun. And the cool stuff about that, and I guess what allowed that game to succeed, was that it picked one specific thing about that universe to dive into and mm-hmm. like really represent. But then there are other games that like try to encapsulate the whole thing. But I think that's one thing that can make a licensed game really good, when it decides this is like the one thing that we're going to do and we're going to do really well. Like, because Rogue Squadron didn't care about Jedi.
I think it's a good point, and I think actually you could kind of make the argument for that if you compare the first two games to the third game, which did try to expand itself. There were like a lot of third-person sections,
Leader, right?
And that game was the worst of the series, and all the bad parts were the parts where you were not in a ship,
mm-hmm.
when you were not doing the Rogue Squadron stuff, and it ended up being like, I think like over half of that game was on-foot missions, and I think they were trying to bite off more than they could chew, as opposed to the first two games, that just like, this is what we do, this is this kind of game, we're going to stick to this kind of game, and those first two games were really... I remember watching the first footage I saw of that game on a GameCube and thinking it was the best video game I'd ever seen in my life.
Rogue Squadron or
Rogue
Leader? The third one?
The second one.
Yeah. No, that was one of the games that made me really want a GameCube. I remember playing that like on the display box at Target.
60 frames a second.
All the time.
Was
really?
That was a 60 frame a second game on the GameCube. GameCube launch title.
Whoa.
Games used to just be 60 frames a second.
Really?
They used to just run really good.
We got all hype on that HD, and we forgot.
Forgot how to make games run. Marcus, do you have any thoughts about what you need to do to make a licensed game?
You need to make a game. You need
I see that.
Like, a lot of licensed games are just cash grabs, mm-hmm. and they don't care if it's good, because they know that the IP is going to sell. Like people are going to buy it, especially... games based off of children's films. Kids want to buy it, and parents are going to buy it for them because it's recognizable. And this is especially true on handheld devices. So for your Game Boys.
Oh, we didn't even talk about that stuff. Oh my gosh.
And that's like...
That's where, a whole other
Power Rangers game.
That's where that stuff lives, right?
Yeah.
It's all just like... developers who have to make games for like kids are just doing it for money. Like, those aren't the games that they want to make. Like, Ubisoft, they have their Assassin's Creeds and their Watch Dogs and like their Far Cry, but they're able to make those games and like take risks because they make all of their money making horses.
Yeah.
And like making like, you know, all these like dinky games, like all these like not even B tier games, but like C tier games that they know are going to sell a lot of copies. So to make a good licensed game, like, you need to make a game, like, you need to want to make a good game. So that's why the Batman Arkham series is successful, because it's a good game that has Batman coat of paint on it.
I think Arkham Asylum is one of the turning points when we start to not say, oh, it's a licensed game, it's going to be bad. Because I remember going to that game and having that, like, stigma that, like, this is based on, like, another property, mm-hmm. and it's just probably not going to be good. And then it was great, and that was when games started to come out and, like, actually have resources devoted to them. They weren't trying to... You had a lot of games based on movies back in the early 2000s. And
there were a slew of Batman games. Like, even, like, I think... Yeah. I know at least the first Christian Bale Batman movie got a game. I think The Dark Knight may have had one canceled.
Yeah, it did.
That were full on bad licensed games, and then Arkham Asylum comes along and
changes it
and made one of the best like adventure games mm-hmm. of that generation.
And then you have Arkham City becoming a really good open world game, and then you have the debate between which of those two are better.
Yeah, it was Arkham Knight. Arkham Knight was a good game.
No, it wasn't a great one. It's Arkham Origins.
Arkham Origins. The game Rocksteady won't even acknowledge.
Yeah. They won't even put it in their collection box.
No. Yeah. No, but Marcus, I think you made a really good point. I think it's easy for... Especially if you're... If I'm someone at Disney, and if I'm working in the sales department for Beauty and the Beast. My job is not to sell video games. My job is to sell Beauty and the Beast products.
Yeah.
And so, mm-hmm. you know, I think at that level, people are seeing video games on the same level as, like, cups and shirts and paper towel racks and slippers and stickers. And so they're just items. And the quality doesn't matter, because as long as it has, you know, Belle's big old face and her yellow dress on there, like, it will sell and make money guaranteed. And video games, especially now, like, take a lot of time and money and skill to make. And if you can make profit without having to actually do those things, if you have no passion for a quality game, you have no incentive to try.
Now, here's the other side of that, like, going specifically off of, like, mobile games now, because now we're not getting those, like video games based off of, off of movies. Now we're getting apps off of movies.
We're getting Angry Birds Star Wars.
Yeah, well, but even dedicated
and,
apps.
Yeah, and others.
So Moana...
Here's your match 3 Moana game.
Moana had its own app. It was actually... I forgot what the concept was. Let me jump to Finding Dory. And, like, Finding Dory had a base building game. We're like you built your own coral reef,
and like a tower defense kind of thing.
Not a tower defense. More
like tiny tower, like Sims ish.
Kind of more like Sims ish. You're basically just like trying to make
watching all the fishies.
Yeah, yeah, and just like make your own town basically. And there's other games like that. It's kind of like that one cat game with all the different kitties, right? It was.
I mean, that sounds like an app.
I'm really glad you guys don't know what that is, because, like, some of my friends played it, and that's all they played, and I hated it.
Is it like Dragon Veil?
Maybe. Maybe. I'm not sure what that is. There's a lot of apps.
It's all Farmville when it comes down to it.
Yeah. It's basically true. Another form of like Farmville. But, like, these games now, I mean, these app games, these mobile games, whatever, like... kind of have to be good, because now all these things are free and they're in a very crowded market, and like, so they have the advantage of like being able to pull people in, but now they have to keep people in there. And I used to work there for a little bit. Like, I've talked with the developers, and they've walked me through all of their hooks and on like all of the ways that they like keep players invested and just like how much money that they put into researching, like if the buy now button is blue mm-hmm. versus if it's green, like what's gonna make them.
Mm-hmm. I've heard some notes from like seminars about this stuff, and that it gets like scary granular.
It's so granular. It's like so completely granular.
I don't like mobile games for that reason. Yeah, I really don't.
I mean, it is a lesson in social engineering.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and at its pinnacle.
And it's crazy because like, but the benefit of that is that like, these licensed apps need to be fun. Like you can't get away because the way that these things spread is like socially. So like, if your game's bad, like no one's gonna talk about it and no one's gonna play it.
Here's the thing about that though. Are these licensed apps still like, are they embodying the spirit of the property then? If they're just like another match 3 game or like another tower defense game or a skin of like Star Wars over Angry Birds, like is that like that's a different that's a completely different way of thinking about that, because so, you're not engaging in the world in the same way that you would like.
It's true.
With a AAA video game developer.
Yeah, there. And like I think in the traditional sense, a lot of these licensed games of like the 2000s weren't like, they weren't AAA games. They like they were B tier at best, right? So in this way, this feels like the like natural progression of like what that was.
Yeah.
But then there are some games too where like you're like, these are more legitimate than, you know, it's like, because there's 1 billion match 3 games, but it's a match 3 game that has Disney's money.
Yeah.
So it's like one of the most polished.
It's
ones.
Got production values. Yeah, it's yeah. Polished, yeah.
And putting yourself in the mindset of like a parent or something, I'm probably more likely to trust my child with a Disney game than a game from a company I don't know. As far as like, here's my phone, you know, go do your kid stuff, and thinking like, you know, they're going to end up like downloading all this other stuff. Like, I'm more comfortable with them getting, like, because Disney's a name that I know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
to some extent, I quote unquote trust mm-hmm. more
well,
than.
They're a company, you
know,
that you can hold accountable, yes, because they're not going to want their like reputation.
Accountability.
As, like, mm-hmm. Childhood, essentially. As yeah. everyone's childhood, they don't want that tarnished.
Yeah. Compared to, you know, just some Russian, you know, gaming farm that just pumps things out.
Yeah.
No offense to Russians. Just their gaming farms. So did mobile gaming save our consoles and PCs from bad licensed games?
I think they did.
I think it's saving the young, impressionable kids from bad licensed games.
I don't know if I'd say that, because they all have phones now.
They're...
Well, when I say saving, I mean they don't have to play like, they don't have to play Superman 64. They
don't
they're
have
just,
to suffer through
They're
this.
Just playing a bad, or maybe not a bad, but like a knockoff match 3
it's
version.
They're not losing money the way they were with these.
That's an interesting question. I don't think that like all that shovelware would like affect like the console sales. Like that wouldn't negatively affect a console really, right? So I think the shift is just, I think it's just we don't have to like worry about that anymore.
It's like we don't have to see, like it's not taking up shelf space for us when we go into GameStop mm-hmm. and are like looking for games. We don't have to sift through 5 rows of like
Scooby-Doo. It's kind of like you either have I guess now what we're kind of like claiming is that you have either the games that are made specifically for mobile, or you have like licensed games that are going to get a lot more funding and are going to be more serious things. So they kind of cut out that middle, B-tier.
I don't know, shove this thing in your PlayStation, kid.
Yeah, the cash grabs aren't coming to consoles as much. And I think I like that a lot better as like a free-to-play phone game.
Because
then you can still engage with that property, but you don't have to spend money. And maybe they've got the whole psychology thing figured out, and any kid that like picks up a phone is like going to spend some amount of their parents, like, credit card.
Mom, I need your fingerprint. Just put it right here.
But I think that is... Yeah,
That's me feels nails, like, mom. Can I just see your?
Oh, no, thank you, mom.
You have really pretty nails. Where did you get this done?
Oh, it didn't go through. I mean, I want to look closer.
Yeah. Just let me see this. Anyway,
so and like clearly it's not perfect because we still get, you know, we still get that Ninja Turtle game. We still get that bad Transformer game, but they are fewer and farer between. And then we get games like, you know, Injustice. I have absolute confidence that Injustice is going to be a very good game and that they're going to treat that licensed property with care. Yeah. Like the people making this game care about the license. They care about Batman and Superman and Swamp Thing and Firestorm. Swamp Thing is a character. Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
You know, there's a story. Like it's a story mode that is canonical to the Injustice comic storyline. Like,
yeah.
They're building it in intentionally, and it's much bigger than this, and people are putting passion into this work.
NetherRealm has taken hold of that property like I don't think any other company has. Like, I feel like Injustice is going to... It's just going to happen this way. It's going to be, we're going to release a Mortal Kombat the game, then it's going to be Injustice, then it's going to be Mortal Kombat, then it's going to be Injustice.
Yeah. And I'm for totally like ever now. That.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's cool. Like,
so those two games actually helped me see like the differences in like fighting game systems.
Yeah.
Because when I first started playing Injustice, I was like, oh, this is basically like Mortal Kombat, except it's really, really not. Like, Injustice is a back-to-block game. Mortal Kombat has like a button to block, like, and just that detail makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
And like me having both those games and then comparing them back and forth, they helped me see like, oh, like this is how they work differently. And they're both really good games in their own right. I just want to play Injustice.
The thing is that like I'm more inclined to buy Injustice over Mortal Kombat, even though
me too.
Even though
they're
way more.
I know that you just. You just explain what like what the differences are, but to the average person, it's the same game.
A fighting game. I mean, people would say Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter are the same game.
Yeah, yeah.
I would bet a lot of money that Injustice will sell far more copies than Mortal Kombat.
Almost guaranteed.
So much.
Even though Mortal Kombat 10 was, I think, rated a lot better than Injustice was, I think... Injustice was probably a more
DC is just
definitely sold better. I mean, you can play as Batman in Injustice. Yeah. That like, probably kind of sold at least 10,000 copies just on like gamers, people wanting to play as Batman. Just that
gamers like Scorpion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
everyone likes Batman.
Yeah,
yeah.
I am the Knight.
Yeah, yep. And then you know, and now with DC trying to expand their. Their TV and movie universes, you know, they
Justice
have,
League better be good.
They have more to play off
good
of.
Good luck with that.
Wonder Woman's coming out soon. Justice League's coming out.
Good luck with that too.
This November.
It's they're both coming out this year. Wonder Woman's coming out in like a
it's like soon, a
month,
right? Yeah,
or less even. I'm not entirely sure. I don't know if that's a very good sign for them, but it's coming out soonish.
More
and then
licensed
Justice League
products.
We'll see.
We're not getting a Wonder Woman game though. That's like. If this were back in 2000, there would be a Wonder Woman game, it would be a hack and slash, it would be a God of War ripoff
there hasn't
with
been
no budget
the
behind
The only
it.
Avengers game we've gotten is Lego.
Yeah.
Which is, we didn't hit on the Lego game, that's a whole one. We could do a whole episode of Lego games
Marvel's,
if we want to.
Marvel's partnering with Square Enix though, right?
Yes.
Aren't they? To do
they are.
Like some kind of series.
Something,
They've got like a 3 or 4 game, I think, something planned.
Interesting.
3 or 4 game deal. Which is exciting.
It's weird that Disney would partner with Square Enix again... Before they released
Kingdom Hearts 3,
which we've been waiting for a decade.
How frustrating is that, Wade?
It's like I'm not frustrated because I've like let it go.
You just want it to be good.
But like I know people who are legitimately just like so upset, and they have every right to be because it's been so long.
But like I kind of want to know like what franchise are going to even be in that game at this point. It's been so long. Like, how many have they like had like turn into new properties?
They probably
are they gonna put
have
in Marvel
developed? Oh yeah, oh yeah. Marvel and Star Wars is confirmed.
Like,
Kingdom Hearts 2,
that's cool.
Yeah. Had freaking like Jack Sparrow in it
and Tron.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And like yeah, like there's a Pirates of the Caribbean movie coming out, but like no one cares about Pirates of the Caribbean anymore. Like, that's... Yeah.
I know a lot of people who care about Pirates of the Caribbean. A lot of the people in Dodge, that's, like, one of their favorite film series.
The first movie's really good.
The first movie's really good. I don't like 2 or 3, but I know people who love 2 and 3.
Wow.
I know a lot of people who are hype about Pirates.
I mean, someone does because they're making a new one.
Well, if you knew how much money it makes...
That's what it comes back to.
Even Stranger Tides made a lot of money.
That's the thing that comes back to is, like, it doesn't matter necessarily how good something is that will guarantee a franchise continuing. How much money is it profitable?
You know what's funny about it is that licensed games are successful monetarily successful for, like, the same reason why video game movies aren't.
Yep.
You think video game movies would be successful because there's an install base that would want to see it, but that doesn't happen. Licensed video games are successful precisely because there's a massive install base that just
wants to... It's Inside Out or Outside In.
Yeah.
And the circles are different.
Inside Out was also had a good license.
Oh, I bet it did.
It was just Puzzle Bobble.
Sure. So it didn't make you cry.
But you know what? I like Puzzle Bobble, and you know what? Thematically, that fits with the movie.
Yep. Yeah,
like, that fits.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Do you think they put those colored orbs in the movie?
For the app?
I don't think that was that.
Illuminati confirmed.
It would be hilarious, though.
Well, I think it's going to just about wrap us up for this show. Marcus, do you want to sing us out?
I forgot my spiel. Follow us, rate us.
I said sing us out.
Oh, sing us out. Do 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 do
do. I apologize. I will take partial responsibility for that. I should have seen that coming. I have let all you listeners down. I'm sorry, Gary.
That's the Hinox theme from...
Legend of Zelda: Breath
of the Wild. He's a Cyclops. Or she...
What's a Cyclops?
Or a skeleton.
The Hinox? Hinox?
Does it have a musical theme?
You know what? It does.
Follow us on social medias. Stay cool. Keep playing games. And we'll see you in 2 weeks. I'm so, so sorry.